following is a presentation of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Are you tired of hearing opinions from experts and people who do it for a living?
Shut up and get to the point!
It's the OHL Fanboys Podcast. Weekly recaps, trade rumors, jersey talk, and some special guests. All things you can probably do without.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Too bad it's a podcast. Welcome to the 21st century, and welcome to another episode of OHL Fanboys with Steve McLean and Brian Thompson.
Welcome to the OHL Fanboys Podcast, Season 5, Episode 17. I am Steve McLean. With me is Brian Thompson. And, Brian, it finally happened.
Did you get laid?
Well, wait. No, let's not talk about that. Let's your boy Michael DiPietro. He's the all-time shutout king.
Fucking right. See, you start working on The Office, and life gets better for you.
He did it on Dunder Mifflin night. How about
of
that?
Of all nights, eh?
He's wearing.
Who the hell set the league record during a promotional night?
Michael DiPietro.
Can you imagine like Tavares setting the goal record, and he's wearing teddy bear jerseys?
And, like, every picture, like, in the league record book for years, you know, it's just this picture of him and that.
Yeah, and they get the, you know, they'll put the puck in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and it's, you know, it's got, I don't know, whatever superhero night it is, or promotions are ruining our game. Here on Fox News, we're going to talk.
Okay, Mr. MAGA. I'm not sure if you saw the CHL Game of the Week. This week was between Calgary and Edmonton, and the Oil Kings.
I did.
Or the Oil Kings, what was it? Like, was that an autism?
They were hideous.
Jersey? Or
no, I think they were teddy bears, man.
Yeah. But had something, like, Don Cherry was plugging it huge.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It was Don Cherry freaking jerseys.
Oh.
Like, the suit.
Yeah. A lot of WHL teams do that. Like, I've seen at least, like, three or four of them do Don Cherry jersey nights.
Because they got them in wholesale.
Yeah. Well, the only team I can think of that have done like a Don Cherry night in the O is Kingston. Yeah. So.
I think Mississauga did one.
Maybe back when they were the Ice
no,
Dogs.
No, like not too long ago.
Really? I no.
I think they did.
Maybe you're right. I'm not sure. But regardless, Michael DiPietro was at 17 shutouts in his OHL career. 16 of which was Windsor and one with Ottawa.
Plus the World Junior shutout. World Junior stats should always count.
You think?
Well, if we talk about the scoring race and it's not fair to those kids who miss a month of hockey, then why not?
So should we add their...
We're counting the Gatineau game for any regular season stats, too.
Yeah, fair. But, well, he got it. He was tied for... He was tied for a couple months with... Thomas McCullough
yeah,
at 16.
Windsor's defense couldn't help him get number 17.
Yeah, no, that's fair. He probably should have had it a long time ago, let's be honest. But yeah.
I didn't really see any games this week, but my dad told me there was a goalie fight in the Spitz game yesterday.
There was?
Yeah.
Hold on.
And he fought like a forward.
I was unaware of this, but then again, I went right from the Storm game yesterday afternoon home and...
Really I doubt didn't... it's going to be on the OHL highlights.
Well, no, it's not going to be on the highlights, but I could go look at the game sheet and see who started, etc. As I take a quick look here.
We're both very busy people, listeners. We're catching up now.
Colton Ince was the goaltender of record for the Spitz yesterday.
He said it was like right at the end of the game, and it happened at center ice, so it's like double the suspension.
Well,
the highlights just go as far as an empty netter.
There are
scene missing.
There is no penalty listed for it. There is at the 20-minute mark of the third period, Spitfire's Daniel D'Amico gets a minor for slashing, and Saginaw's Regan O'Grady gets a match penalty. Doesn't say what for.
My dad can be a massive liar. Who knows?
It does say that Colton Ince did not play the 60 minutes. It says 59 minutes and 53 seconds. So.
Yeah, so that he must have got kicked out right beforehand then, because they're not going to pull a goalie with that much of a discrepancy.
Yeah, but it doesn't say he got a fighting major, so I don't know. I didn't see the game, so I'm not sure.
Who's the guest this week?
Well, hey, there's something that people can look forward to about this week's show being different, is the fact that you're doing the interview this week.
Sure.
What?
People Who cares?
People seem to like you.
No one likes me.
When you're not on the show, we have a ratings dip.
My therapist says that no one likes me.
It is Bell Let's Talk week, so this week Brian is depressed.
And I don't want to talk.
You do enough of that during the rest of your week, I guess.
I think I'm going to go to the Spitz game Sunday. Because we got that hockey day and the OHL Kojiko thing going on.
You got a 1 p.m. start.
Against the Ice Dogs, so I'll be out of there by 2:15 tops.
Yeah, that's...
Go watch the Pro Bowl.
Ice Dogs are a very good team, I can attest to that.
This is NHL All-Star Weekend too, right?
Coming up, yes.
Yeah, it's usually the week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Tom Brady's in it again, that's all I know.
Fucking right!
Oh yeah, you love Tom.
Go Blue.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Damn right.
I think I might have said that on the podcast before at Super Bowl time.
Oh, you know.
You know who didn't have a good weekend this weekend for once?
Me.
Wow.
But continue.
Other than you.
See, no one cares.
It's, oh, Jesus. The London Knights did not have a good road trip this weekend. They played up in Barrie, Sudbury, and North Bay and lost two of those three games.
Well, they got a point out of North Bay.
Yeah, they did get a point out of North Bay. They lost in overtime, but lost in regulation in Barrie, a team that's actually not in the playoff spot right now. And they did get their win in Sudbury, and that was actually from what I had... I kind of followed along with the score at the time. It seemed like a pretty good game. London ended up winning 5-3. That's the only game that Sudbury has lost since Ukko Pekka Luukkonen has come back from the World Juniors. So
Sudbury just lost.
Yeah, that game.
Oh. You cut out a little bit, sorry.
I was saying.
I thought you guys were going to beat Niagara on Sunday.
I was
like, oh, that's the battle of the two second best teams.
Yeah, Guelph and Niagara just had their two games against each other in the span of 10 days. Guelph won the game in Niagara, and Niagara wins the game in Guelph.
That's nice of you guys. It's hospitable.
Yeah, it was, I think, over 80 shots on goal yesterday in the or on Sunday in the 4-3 Niagara win. A game that Niagara had actually jumped out to a 4-1 lead after two, and then Guelph kind of had a bit of a comeback in the third, but just couldn't get it done. I'll have to say, Stephen Dillon, the Ice Dogs goaltender, played a great game. He made 49 saves on 52 shots. I will say that it was one of those types of games where Niagara's defense was actually, I think, doing a better job of keeping Guelph just to the outside and not getting quality shots. And then there were so many other times where Guelph was putting it at the net, especially in the final couple minutes when Guelph pulled the goaltender and taking all these shots they could try, and just it was always getting deflected up into the netting or you know, blocked and out of the zone. So you know, Dillon had a few really big saves yesterday, and he was definitely the better goaltender, but he, you know, Guelph could have done a bit better as far as not just peppering him with shots from the point. But kudos to the Ice Dogs. It was you know, better team won yesterday.
What kind of attitude is that, loser?
Should I get on this like podcast after a loss and be like, fuck the Ice Dogs, they suck?
I might give a shit about them if you did.
Ouch.
But if you're going to be all like, you know, things happen, blah, blah, then yeah, fuck you guys, go Niagara.
Well, I will say this. Some of our big guns have been, some of the guys we acquired at the deadline have been killing it for this team. Sean Dursey, the defenseman who used to play for Owen Sound, he's got more goals with Guelph in six games than he had all season with the Attack. He's got 9 points in six games. So, you know, Ryan, who as far as I'm concerned. Mackenzie Entwistle, too, I believe has points in every game since coming over from the Hamilton Bulldogs. 10 points in 8 games for Mackenzie Entwistle, so he's doing very well. Now, Nick Suzuki, though, who was kind of considered like the biggest offensive pickup that we had gotten at the deadline. Now, he has 8 points in 6 games, which sounds really good, but he actually went pointless in all 3 games this weekend. He had the 8 points in his first 3 games and didn't get anything this week. So, but, you know, we're deep enough that, you know, one guy has a bad week, you know, other guys pick up the pace for it. But our captain, Isaac Ratcliffe, had a really good weekend, and Mackenzie Entwistle played in his 200th game. So I'll stop talking about Guelph now, Brian. I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for you to get to the damn big news.
The big news.
Jesus Christ. Come on, Steve.
Well, we already talked about
Peterborough.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. It was another one of those long line of stories that broke right after we released an episode. So it's like...
That's why you write them down.
Yeah, I know. Peterborough's finally getting a new arena. At least...
Thank fuck.
Eventually. The city...
Hey! It's a step, man.
Yeah, no, it's a big step. Because here's the thing with Peterborough... And if anything, they're actually still kind of delaying it more than they should, even with this news. But for like a couple of years now, it's, you know, it's been known for a while. It's like, hey, these guys, you know, you need a new building. And they kept paying these consultants like $150,000 a pop to do these feasibility studies.
Windsor did that.
Yeah.
Fucking waste of money.
Waste of money, waste of time. And for them to eventually go, yeah, your building sucks. You need a new one. And, of course, there's been this whole issue with the floor of the building being out of sorts.
What's with all these arena floors being shit?
Well, we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get to the other one in a second. I want to finish with Peterborough first.
It's an epidemic.
But, yeah. And
with lice.
Like, they were talking about how, basically, next summer the lacrosse team's getting kicked out because they got to redo the floor of the Memorial Center. They can't wait, like, another... few years for this new building to get built. They got to replace the floor now, and the Peets are probably gonna have to start on the road next year. So, you know, it's but anyway, the city is committed to building a building, and they said they'll name a site for the building by the end of this year. The thing is, though, they are now once again paying some consultant a bunch of money to go, where should we put it?
That's just incompetent ass council. How do you not know where to put a rink?
Well, and apparently too, like, I guess there's 2 sites that there, a lot of people are thinking about, but apparently it's like there's one that many people think are head and shoulders above the other. One, I can't remember the exact name. One was something, I want to say, was it Willow Park or something like that? And the other one was the Market Plaza near downtown. But the problem with the Market Plaza is like there's already... like a mall or something on top of it, and they'd have to like buy it, tear it down. It would cost like a ton of money for the city to do that, whereas they could just get the land at the other spot without having to pay extra. So it seems like that whatever this park area would be the best place for it, but they're going to pay another guy 6 figures to tell them where to put it.
Like, give me the 6 figures. There. Yeah. Pay me.
But... So I'd imagine
$86 million for a new rink now.
Oof. I remember when Sue built theirs, it cost $25.
I don't even remember what Windsor's was.
I think
it was a lot. I think it was in the 60s.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
But that's 4 ice pads.
Yeah,
is just 2.
Yeah, they're only going to put 2 in Peterborough, so.
Fucking inflation, man.
I know I think they don't need to put in 4 because they just... The city had just built one of those, like, 3 or 4 pad buildings somewhere, so.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine it's still going to, we're still, like, probably, like, 4 or 5 years away from actually seeing it, but it's finally coming. But Sudbury and Peterborough, so if you've never been to Peterborough, you know the league ain't going to let them build square corners, though, again.
What is... I'm not shitting on Peterborough here, but just what you said. Why would you go to Peterborough? Like, what's there? Lampton College and...
I go to Mosport every summer to the races, and that's like 30 minutes from Peterborough, but...
Peterborough's just like one large subdivision, right?
Yeah. Like, I honestly... I'll be honest. Like, I've got nothing against the city or anything. It's just... I've only ever been to Peterborough for Pete's games. No other reason. I don't know other people who live there.
It's big enough to have a Kojiko.
Yeah, I think they have like 70 or 80,000 people is the population. So it's kind of like the size of Sault Ste. Marie in that regard. Yes. But... Yeah, I don't know. Anytime I've been, it seems like a nice town, but also, too, I've never been when it's been nice out, you know?
Yeah.
81,000, by the way. But, I've only ever been between November and March. So, you know, maybe in the summer is really nice. Who knows? I know a lot of cottagers go up that way for the Kawartha Lakes.
Yeah. So, Hamilton.
Yeah. Anyway, more arena floor news. Hamilton. Cops arena floor is junk. The city...
If only they had looked into that before moving the team out of Belleville.
Yeah. If only there had been reports years ago telling them that the arena sucked. Oh, wait.
It's a good thing they left Belleville, because obviously they were never going to renovate that arena.
Ooh. It's not like city council in Belleville had said we were going to do it in 2017 or 2016, and if you just waited, we're going to do it. apparently there was a study done like years ago, like I want to say it was like 2013 or 2014, where
the floor is bad and you should feel bad.
Not only that, but like these antifreeze lines or whatever were starting to fail then. And they were classified as end of life in 2014, and they started failing in 2016, which leads me to believe, how the hell did they end up having quality, you know, or I don't know how quality is, but how did they have usable ice in May for the OHL final? But, you know, hey, reasons why, you know, people were wondering, how could Hamilton didn't get the Memorial Cup? This is why.
Your ice sucks.
So, they have to replace that. That's like an immediate need, to the point where, like, they're even worried about getting these games done they have left this season. And luckily for them, you know, Hamilton shouldn't be going too far in the playoffs. But they're talking about, they're going to such extremes that Hamilton might have to start next season playing in Brampton. They would move in to the now CAA Center, formerly the Bunker, and I guess share with the Brampton Beast and play home games there while this floor and that Cops gets fixed. And it's not just the floor, too. Like that's the immediate need, but they were saying, like, Cops needs, like, something like $30 or $40 million in upgrades. Like, they need a new roof, apparently.
This fucking league. Good. Pay it, Ann Lauer. Come on. You want this fucking team so bad.
Well, no. He has already offered to pay to build a brand new rink. He's just like, give me some land and I'll build a new building. And the city's like, eh.
I hate city councils.
They don't want to give up the Cops pipe dream.
Yeah, well, the pipes are failing, so stop dreaming.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't know. You move a team from one city where it was perfectly fine to this city, and now they might have to temporarily play in another city you abandoned.
Here's the thing, though.
Cool.
Here's the thing, though. A lot of people, when the team moved, they were bitching about the team moving to Hamilton because, oh, crowd support's going to suck. I'll have to say that having been to a bunch of games in Hamilton, like, even this season, like, crowd support is not bad.
Why is Brampton the first choice? Why wouldn't it be Guelph?
I'm not sure. Maybe they don't want
to... Didn't the Ticats move to Guelph while they were building the new stadium?
They did. They played in Guelph at the university for 2 years, I think.
Yeah, so you're... Guelph is the farm team for Hamilton. Share your rink.
It got to the point.
Let him in, Steve.
It got to the point like that one, I think the last season that the Ticats played up here, they went to the Grey Cup, and during Grey Cup Sunday, the Storm had a home game. So for that Storm home game, they actually wore like Hamilton Tiger Cats jerseys.
Yeah.
It was really weird, but.
Just fucking share your rink, man. Quit being a hog.
I would have no problem with it, but apparently...
Of course you would. You'd love that. Can I just get 1 year of Hamilton season tickets? Don't ask.
They'll be better than Guelph next year. I'm sorry, but they will be.
I'm not sorry. Good.
But yeah, no, I guess the plan is to move them to Brampton for a bit.
Kill me. You going to go back to your old stomping grounds?
I mean... I'd almost have to, wouldn't I? I'd have to go
in
back.
In what colors?
Here's the thing I thought of. What if they one of those games they have to play there is against North Bay?
Yes. Well, different comp. No, same conference.
Same conference. They play each other twice in each building.
Ooh.
So it's possible.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so... If they're like already, you know, if they're doing one of those like two drafts of the schedule, like here's a draft of the schedule if Hamilton's actually playing in Hamilton, and here's a draft if they're playing in Brampton, that Brampton draft better have a North Bay game in Hamilton the first, you know, month of the season or 2 months or something.
We get better. Who gives a shit? No one gave a shit back then.
I just think it'd be funny.
It'd be funny, but don't be like they better. Oh no, Ian will be pissed. Like, there was six of you.
There's a few more than that, but yeah, I get your point. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Yeah, so...
Remember when I went to Brampton, I wore a North Bay Centennials jersey?
Yeah, during the final season, after it had been announced.
I don't know why that was so funny, but it was.
And I think most people just assumed you were from North Bay. Because we actually, we started getting North Bay fans coming down to, like, check out the team a year early.
Kicking the tires.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's see what this is all about, you know?
Not too bad here. But, yeah, I guess we can take this off your hands, no problem.
But here's the thing, of all the North Bay fans that showed up that year, or that last, you know, two-thirds of the season to come watch the Battalion, and they had, like, Brampton had three, after the announcement, Brampton had, like, three games in Sudbury, and every single one, like, had at least two or three buses of people show up from North Bay, and all those people, I don't remember ever seeing any Sense jerseys. They had, like, Battalion banners and shit right away, but... You know, no one ever actually showed up in Sense colors.
Why would... Oh, Sense. I thought you said Sens.
No. Centennials.
That shit's hard to find, man.
But...
Unless you're us. Represent.
Yeah, but... Anyway, so the Brampton... Or the Brampton Bulldogs might be a thing for at least a few games next season. That'd be interesting.
That actually rolls off the tongue.
It does. I want to say, actually... Back, like, way back in the day, like, war-era days, there was, like, a Brampton Bulldogs hockey team.
There's a Brampton in the war-era days?
Brampton's been around since the... I remember when I was a kid, around, like, 03 or something, they celebrated their 150th anniversary of the town.
Oh, I thought Brampton was, like, younger than me.
No, Mississauga is a lot, like, younger. Like, I don't think they were incorporated as a city until, like, the 70s. But
maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Brampton's been around since like the early.
Y'all still listening to this show?
No.
Alright. Cool.
But
you guys want to hear about my home renovations?
Oh God, yeah. You went
cricket.
You went and bought like you didn't even know you're gonna buy a bunch of flooring.
And then I bought a bunch of. I was just kidding. No one cares.
No, exactly. Anyway, so people here like the Sarnia Sting, though, right?
No.
Well, I'm sure our guests will love to hear that.
From a Windsor fan, I'm not going to lie. Fuck the Sting.
You going to start the interview off that way, Brian?
No. I mean that in a good-natured, team versus team thing. Those fuckers knocked us out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and hey, you were just mad a few minutes ago when I was like all like, oh yeah, Niagara was better than us. Oh well.
Yeah.
You want me to stand up and be like, yeah, screw them.
I'll say it a million times. Hate sells tickets.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with some good hate.
Well, I guess that's part of the discussion you'll be diving into, because I'll let you do the intro since you're doing the interview this week, Brian.
Well, one, we need to talk to more women on the show, because women play a huge role in junior hockey, so we try and feature them as much as possible. And this lady, she is both the social media and communication intern, and she helps run game day coordination for the Sarnie Stings, Miss Emma Holmes, when we come back on the OHL Fanboys podcast.
The iron right off the draw. Peterborough sends that the length of the ice, and Mikey DiPietro gets his second win of the season and his second shutout of this season, and the 67s defeat the Peterborough Petes by a 4-0 score. And Colin, a big win for the 67.
Welcome back here to the OHL Fanboys podcast. We were blessed enough to mute Steve's and not have to listen to him drone on and on with some prospects person. I get to do an interview with someone from a city I don't much care for. Emma Holmes from the Sarnia Sting. Welcome to the program, Miss Emma.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, you are working in a lot of different hats. I don't know if it's at the same time or not. You're doing social media, you're doing communications, and you're doing game day coordinating. How did you land this job?
So with my school, I go to Lambton College, and we have a partnership with the Sarnia Sting. Mm-hmm. So with your first year, you get to, you're kind of in a game day staff role. And that's where you kind of figure out where you want to land the next year. So with co-op this year, last year I took on a role of social media as well. So I was just continuing on with that role. And then along with another intern, I help with the game day coordination side.
Okay, so let's pick these off one at a time. We'll start with social media. So when I think social media, I just know Twitter. How many of these different social media accounts does someone in your field have to worry about? Like, are we doing Instagram? Are we doing Vimeo? How many is there to it?
I mainly focus on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And then I know last year during playoffs, we focused on YouTube, but that's kind of slowed down this. So I just focus on those three mainly.
So when you're doing the Twitter stuff, is it just, hey, there's a game coming up, or are you doing like the live game updates?
Sometimes I do away games. We have a couple of different people that live tweet. So if I'm needed, I'll live tweet game days, but more like focusing on if we have a corporate sponsor, thanking them for coming out, any special pictures that we have that can kind of represent what coming to a Sarnia Sting game day is like. So that's the kind of stuff I post on Twitter.
Okay, away games. That's interesting to me. Now, do you go with the team to do this, or do you watch on TV and just report from there?
Yeah, just OHL live and report from wherever I am.
Oh, that's very interesting. Now, Sarnia is not one of them, but there are certain teams, Windsor, who just have awful, awful, awful social media stuff. And we saw it with Ottawa. Ottawa did a complete 180. Last year, they had some crazy dude who was just making it all about himself, talking first person, all this stuff. Now Ottawa runs some of the best promotions. What do you do to make sure like you're being professional, but at the same time, with Twitter, you kind of got to be a little bit funny or interesting in that? What do you bring to that?
I kind of more just kind of stay away from the funny stuff, because you can only push it so far before you're going to offend someone. So I like to just keep it that, you know, that it's kind of showing what we're all about, instead of like, I know a lot of accountants enjoy poking fun of each other, but for my taste, I kind of just stay away from it. So I know you kind of play it on the safer side.
Well, it's tricky too. You never know what's trending, for example. And then you'll see teams who are just, I don't speak meme. Like a lot of people seem to speak meme, and they're just, I don't know what Cardi B reference they're referring to that's in pop culture. So it's kind of good. Sometimes I'm one of those people who just tell me what the score is. Tell me if there's a penalty and stuff like that. I don't need your clever gifts and stuff like that. Are you heavier on the gifts, or do you stay away from the gifts?
If there's a good time to use one, I'll use it, but more staying away from them.
Okay, so now communications. Is that just a lot of the write-ups that you're doing after the games, or what goes into being a communications intern?
Kind of both. So again, if I'm live tweeting a game, that means I'm going to be writing the post game article. So doing that, kind of just recapping. And then like, if we have to send out, kind of a news release sort of thing, I can pre-type one up and then send it off to my manager. He fixes it up. So it's kind of like a two-step to get like news out to our season ticket holders and that sort of stuff.
How much work do you do with the fans themselves?
Like,
is there a lot of cross coordinating with actual fans and you get to interact with them, or do you just mostly stay behind the scenes?
On game days, I do. Just being a part, like also on game days, I'm part of the game day staff. So that part I do, but not so much on the other time.
Do you guys have to coordinate a lot with the television and radio people too to kind of sync things up for broadcasts? Like, especially you said you're working with sponsors?
Not so much. I think that's more my manager's job. I kind of just stick to like communicating with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, somebody in our organization does that, but it's not my role.
No, it's fine. Like you said, you're working your way up to these things too. And I think it's really cool that a college actually has an internship with these teams, because some of these teams, it's really hard to break into a field like that. So I'm glad to hear a team like Sarnia is actually giving guys opportunities like that. Tell us about some of the perks that you've had, like getting to enjoy the OHL experience.
It was perfect, actually. And last year it kind of sucked with the strike, the college strike lasting 5 weeks. But having a partnership with Sting, they allowed us the opportunity where we call them office hours. So during the strike, I ended up opting to stay in Sarnia, even though I live about 3 hours away from Sarnia. And I just worked in the office, which helped me in my first year land a bigger role. So you get all those perks. And it also really helps us out with our education, because we do projects like about the Sting. So last year, I know in my one marketing class, we did a project all on we are creating a game day, a sponsored game day or themed game day. So it kind of helps having that experience over there and helping with our education.
Do you find yourself watching more games than you used to now because you're with the team? Or, like, I know Shelburne's kind of near Owen Sound, your hometown. Or did you start out an Attack fan, or did this just develop through college that you started to enjoy the OHL experience?
My grandparents used to always buy us Barry Colts tickets, so that was kind of our team.
And,
I was never like so big. That was like when Mark Scheifele was playing, and I wasn't so big into it. And then probably my grade 10 year, Travis Barron kind of lives in the areas near us. And I started following Ottawa really closely. And then they kind of cross-referenced when Travis Konecny got traded. So then I kind of started following Sarnia. And then the next year when I came to school, I became a full-blown Sarnia Sting fan.
That's awesome. And I'm just Barry, you know, I know they're kind of a rival with them, so that's kind of interesting there. I want to get into the game day coordination stuff, because this is something Steve and I have talked a lot about on the podcast this year. I haven't been to a Sarnia game in a while, so I can't really speak for their game day experience. But most of the arenas I go to now, the game day experience is really lacking compared to what it used to be, in terms of it's getting more and more and more corporate. And, you know, it's very important for these teams to have their sponsors, but there needs to be like a healthy medium and stuff. Is that something that comes up when you guys are planning your games of let's get as many fun things as well as our obligatory corporate stuff? Or I know I'm asking 5 questions at once and I apologize, but it's just like I wonder how much focus the team puts into the fans are having fun as much as they are the business side.
Yeah, so we try to interact both. So I know with like our intermissions, we can get our intermissions sponsored, but there's still an activity for the fans. So like our past game, we just had a like last man standing loopy ball sort of thing, but it was sponsored. So it's more like, even though it was a corporate, it was fun for the fans. Or we have like sponsored fan cams where like it's a dance cam put on by a business. So we still try to interact kind of the corporate side and the fan side. So we're doing both.
Have you pitched any ideas that have gone through, like something different for the fans? Or all the arenas you see the same things. We get the kiss cams and we get, you know, wacky haircuts or something like that, or the old favorite of this car is the dirtiest car in the parking lot. What kind of promotions are you guys pitching that are kind of fun?
Can't think of any off my top of my head. It's kind of more like a
that's
group.
My point.
Yeah, it's a group, because I know, like, we'll do road trips, like, intern road trips, and we'll try to, like, come up with ideas from different, like, we've gone to Windsor, we've gone to Kitchener, I think we're going to Guelph coming up in February. So we try to, like, come up with different ideas, but again, saying most of the teams are the same, so it's hard to come up with your own original fun thing that nobody's done yet.
Do they try and leave at least a couple whistles to just, like, play music and let the fans breathe a little bit? Because I know with Windsor, the game day experience is awful. There's just always a sponsor at every single whistle and, like, a loud commercial on the video board. There's no time for the fans to really breathe and process the game. Is that something you guys try to at least leave a little bit in for, especially the older fans who are just, you know, they may be turned off a little bit more by the advertising than some?
Yeah, we actually don't have a ton. We do have certain, but I think there's, like, a 4-minute break in between, like, huge promotions and reads. And I know we only put on videos during the TV timeouts, so we try to leave that area where it's not all just corporate thrown at you.
As a fan, like, putting aside what you're doing now, what do you like to see in a hockey game that draws your interest and something that makes you want to come to games as opposed to, you know, you know what it's like behind the curtain now? But what's the kind of thing that drives you to want to go to a game?
I think it's just the way they interact with their fans and, like, the things that they do. I know all the different promos, because the more you can get the fans into it, the better the atmosphere is. Right. So I kind of like seeing things like that. So I know, I think it's Hamilton. They have, like, the rearranging of people, and they give them each a letter, and that's, like, a promo. And then they have, like, different intermission things and, like, interviews with fans. So that's kind of cool. So I like seeing that kind of stuff that gets the fans really into it.
That perfectly leads into my next question, because Windsor has something like that too, where they rearrange the letters, say go Spits go, but it always happens in the same section, almost the same row. But I notice this more because I'm a season ticket holder, so, you know, we get the same game day presentation 34 times a year. Mm-hmm. How much do you try and switch it up per game? Because yeah, you have your walk-up fans who might just come once a year because it's new to them, but you don't want the same people to see the same thing over and over again. How much do you try and, like, just bounce or move things around?
Every single game. So there's only, I think, one promotion where we have a set section. I think it's, like, 106 because it's a radio set station, 106, so it kind of makes sense for their promo. But our intern game day staff actually pick each promotion, so we're just told the promotion and what it's about. And then we pick what seat, what row, what section we want, and then to choose. And then we send it up to, like, our video board people, and they put on the camera, and our in-game host comes down. So it changes up every single game.
Now, for our Sarnia fans who may know you and may have heard this, how easily are you bribed so they can get this $25 Subway card or whatever the promotion is?
I'm actually not on promos anymore, so... You can try, but it probably won't work.
What is the secret to winning that 4 tickets to the Hockey Hall of Fame? It can't just be random. There's always something, Emma. How do we get into this?
I'm actually not sure. We have we have a group of interns that are just, like, we have a promo group and a we call them our groups group, and they just kind of, the promo team just picks them at random, or we'll see, like, a section where, like, for Hockey Hall of Fame, if we see a section with kids having a good time, we usually more go towards those who fit our demographics.
Hold on. Bring kids to game. Can okay, got it. So you're doing this, is what, your second year with the Sting now?
Yes.
So what happens after college? What are you looking to do?
So after I'm done, I'm coming back again next year for another year of college. And then after that, I'm looking to either go to the University of Waterloo or University of Windsor to finish my degree in sport management.
Waterloo. You don't want none of this.
So hopefully interning, getting more experience with either the Rangers or the Spits. So just continuing to get more experience with OHL teams.
And you would love nothing more than to have a career in hockey.
Yeah, either any sport. I love kind of the experience and, like, what you get to kind of be a part of, so it's fun career.
Oh, it's awesome. And, you know, it's really refreshing to hear that younger people are getting these roles of game day stuff, because I know with old fogey, I'm 34, but you know, I would be just fine with no promotions and Guns N' Roses playing at every, you know, whistle, but you need to have those things. And it's really tricky to balance the two. And I think some of the teams, I know Ottawa, I'm sure Sarnia does a pretty good job. It's been a couple of years since I've been there, but some of these smaller teams, they do a much better job at balancing to make sure people come out and have a good time as opposed to the bigger teams. So I'm really glad to hear that you guys are doing that, and you guys are bringing forth, you know, a good game day atmosphere, because like I've been saying on this show, Netflix is $10 a month, and the price of hockey tickets, it's getting, especially in these colder days where it's just so bitter to even get out, you know, it's harder to convince fans to come out. So entertainment is number one for these people. And as long as you guys are doing a great job, people are going to come out. Emma, thank you so much for your time this week.
Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this episode of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Brazeau's a bit tired. Here he goes.
Brazeau through the center ice area, now driving the net and scooping the puck wide. Calvis, here's a chance. Oh, he shoots and scores.
Welcome back to the OHL Fanboys Podcast. As we wrap up this week's episode, really like to thank once again Emma Holmes from the Sarnia Sting for coming on and giving us some insight on the social media and game day operations side of things in the OHL. You can follow her on Twitter at Emma D. Holmes on Twitter, so give her a follow and give her some love there. So thank you once again to Emma for coming on. Of course, lots of OHL games to look out for this weekend. Of course, we have the Top Prospects game going on tonight. That's in Red Deer. Very late start, 10 p.m. So you'll have to stay up a little bit late for that one. But some good games on tap as well. As far as Thursday night's concerned, probably the couple games to keep an eye on. Of course, the London Knights are in Windsor. That's always a good matchup, no matter where those teams are in the standings. The Sudbury Wolves in North Bay to take on the Battalion. They've played each other a few times, it seems like, lately. I guess they just have that one of those bunches in the schedule where they're playing each other a lot. And obviously that could be a good matchup, good divisional matchup. Friday and Saturday, something to look out for. The Ottawa 67s and the Oshawa Generals have a home-and-home. In Oshawa Friday, in Ottawa Saturday afternoon. So that should be a pretty good matchup between the top two teams in the East Division. I mentioned, actually, that Windsor and London are playing each other Thursday night. That is also a home-and-home series. Windsor back in London on Friday night. So a couple big matchups for the Spitfires on that one. Also, Saturday night, you have the two non-playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, the Kingston Frontenacs visiting the Barrie Colts. You know, last couple of years, that was considered a possible conference finals preview. Now it's the two teams that are out of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference right now, as Barrie has been kind of slipping farther and farther away from that. We'll see if they can get back on track or not and challenge that final spot. Kingston, I think we're pretty sure they're well out of it this season. Sunday, we have a couple more big games. Of course, the Saginaw Spirit visiting the Ottawa 67s, that could be a pretty good matchup. And later in the day, we have the London Knights facing the Oshawa Generals in Oshawa, so that could be another pretty good game as well. Anthony Salinitri, man, he has been killing it for the Oshawa Generals so far since the trade. He has 4 hat tricks, 20 goals in 20 games for the Gens, so great pickup for Oshawa there. And of course, it's also the Hockey Day in Kojiko. Niagara in Windsor at 1 p.m. for the start of the triple header. Kingston in North Bay at 4. And it all wraps up with Hamilton in Sarnia at 7 p.m. The OHL Fanboys Podcast can be found on iTunes. We're on Spotify. So for all you Apple and Android listeners, hopefully we will have the archives up fairly soon at OHLpucks.com. Our friend Keith Dotson working on that for us to get all 5 seasons of the OHL Fanboys Podcast available for all of you on demand. And of course, Brian is on Twitter at Toast84, and I'm on Twitter at SteveMcLean888. Thank you all so much for listening. Until next week, for Brian Thompson, I am Steve McLean. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to the OHL Fanboys Podcast.